a year from now, what will you have left over from this Christmas? A broken toy in the basement? A frayed and battered doll in the corner? A tie with some food spots that won't come out? A dress that was a size too small to begin with and is even tighter a year later? A family Christmas picture stuck in the front of the Bible? Your Christmas card filed away for reference? The tree ornaments carefully labeled and placed away in the closet? These are the kinds of things most of us will have left over from Christmas a year from now. And when you stop to think about it, is there very much left over from Christmases past? Things that you can really put your finger on and say, that's what's left over from my Christmases. When the angel appeared to the shepherds, we are told that heaven could not restrain itself, and the multitude of heavenly hosts simply burst out in song, in praise of God. And it was in that context that the shepherds said, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." But when they had been to Bethlehem, and when they had seen the babe in the manger, and when they had returned to their sheep, was there anything left? After all, they were only shepherds. Was there any left over from the journey to Bethlehem? Did you ever stop to think why the shepherds were chosen by God to be the first to receive an announcement that a Savior had been born? After all, in the social structure of the ancient East, shepherds were not very important at all. As a matter of fact, most people thought very poorly of them, and they were not even able to testify in a court of law because their testimony was not considered to be trustworthy. And shepherds were poor to boot. They had little to offer. So why shepherds? In the Old Testament, we discover that shepherds played an important part in the plans of God. It was a shepherd of Ur of the Chaldees named Abram, whom God called to begin a race of people who were to be known as the Hebrews. And God changed his name to Abraham, for he was to be the father of many nations. It was to a shepherd of Midian, to whom God appeared in a burning bush and called him by name, Moses, Moses. And when the first kings of Israel were chosen, Saul and David, the Bible tells us they were shepherds too. And when David sat down to write about God, the words he wrote began this way, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So why did God choose shepherds to whom he announced the birth of his son? Let me suggest several reasons. First of all, I suspect shepherds were honest and humble enough to admit they needed a Savior. Out under the blue sky and the bright sun by day, or lying beside a dying campfire at night, listening to the quiet sounds of the evening, the sleepy movement of the flocks, watching the black canopy of night punched with bright holes made by the stars, a man had a lot of time to think. Out in the open, the shepherd became terribly conscious of his finiteness, his insignificance. He saw himself as he really was, in all of his helplessness and in all of his poverty. And in his heart, he knew he needed a Savior. Not everybody knew that. There were many people in Israel who needed a Savior, but couldn't admit it. For example, there was Herod. If anybody needed a Savior, it was Herod. He had murdered at least one wife, according to historians, and then had killed three of his own sons. He was noted for his self-interest and his greed. And when he heard that a Messiah had been born, his only concern was, how will it affect my life? Can you imagine the audacity of this person? The wise men from the east come and say there was a sign in the heavens that something important had happened. A Messiah had been born. And he called in his religious leaders and they said, yes, it will happen in Bethlehem. And the wise men go to Bethlehem. And Herod says, when you find him, let me know because I want to come and worship him too. But worship was not what he had in mind. It was murder. Do you realize that Herod knew about the Messiah, Jesus, but he couldn't admit he had a need? His hardened habit of greed and self-interest got in his way. Sometimes I have that problem. I begin to let my own interests, my own greed, get in the way of my spiritual need for a Savior. Does that ever happen to you? We begin to trust in the wrong things, to put our confidence and our faith in material possessions and material things. We're just too busy with secular matters. Isn't that what happened to the innkeeper? His place of business was sold out, and he was so involved in taking care of the needs of his customers that he didn't have time or interest to care about a couple that came knocking on his door in desperate straits. He couldn't be bothered. Do you get that busy? Here's how you can tell if you're busy. How big a part of your day is determined spiritually. The religious leaders of that day needed a Savior. When you're a leader of any kind, it's hard to admit you have a need. You see, too many of us look upon such an admission as a weakness. Many of you are leaders, and it's hard for all of us to admit to the people serving under us that we have a need, a weakness. It's certainly true in my life. As a religious leader, I'm supposed to know all the answers. I'm supposed to have faith to move mountains. I'm supposed to be spiritual, to know how to get all my problems solved. So to admit a need is very threatening to my self-image. Are you that way too? I suspect a second reason the shepherds were told of the birth of Jesus is because they were humble enough to receive where he was, as he was. Now, we Christians have glamorized the stable in which Jesus was born, but most of us haven't been in a stable lately. The only clean thing in the whole place was the fresh hay in the manger where Mary laid her newborn child. But the shepherds were humble enough to accept that. Giovanni Papini was an Italian author and poet of the last century. Until he was 38 years old, he was an atheist, self-proclaimed. But at that point in his life, he had a dramatic encounter with the living Lord, and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. He had considerable writing talents, and he spent the rest of his life using that talent to glorify his Lord. One of his books was translated into English under the title of The Life of Christ. He wrote in that book about shepherds, and he talked about the shepherds of Bethlehem as he knew shepherds in the hills of Italy. Even today in our mountains, he wrote, where one finds the last dying traces of hospitality and fraternal feeling, as soon as a wife is delivered of a child, the sisters, the wives, the daughters of the shepherds come hurrying to her. And not one of them is empty-handed. One has three or four eggs still warm from the nest. Another a cup of freshly drawn milk. Another a little cheese. Another a pullet to make broth for the new mother. Themselves poor, the old-time shepherds did not look down on the poor. And then he adds a thoughtful comment about the shepherds who came to Bethlehem. A poor man was born among them, and they looked on him with affection and love. Can you imagine Herod stalking in his royal regalia across the barnyard with his royal train dragging in the manure? Can you see the religious leaders picking their delicate way across the filthy barnyard, watching carefully where they step in order to get to the manger? No, they would never be able to accept the humble circumstances of the birth of Jesus. But could we accept it today, you and I? Could we go to some poor hovel in the inner city, infested with cockroaches, with the bad smell of old food, with old broken furniture, with a rag stuck in the window for a missing pane, with little heat and maybe no electricity? Would that be grand enough for our Savior? Could we believe that a Messiah could be born under such circumstances? Are we humble enough? Do we have enough humility to believe that God loves every human being and that He could come to us in such low humility? Sometimes when I'm watching the news and I see different races, the different countries on the screen, sometimes I feel badly towards them because of who and what they are. And then I have to remind myself, God came in the person of Jesus and died for that person. He is important to God. And you and I have to remember that, given our station in life, that's sometimes hard to accept. And maybe that's why God chose the shepherds. I suspect another reason the shepherds knew about the birth of Jesus was this. They were close enough to God to hear the angels sing. Did anybody else hear the angels that night? The shepherd fields lie close to Jerusalem, and the road to that holy city runs right by the shepherd fields. Was there some late traveler who might have seen and heard the angels sing? The shepherd fields lie right next to the little town of Bethlehem. Was there some night watchman, some policeman on duty who might have seen and heard the angels? If so, we don't know about it. No one else came to the manger that night. Were the shepherds the only ones to hear the angels sing? Have you ever heard an angel sing? Are you that close to God? You know, when something wonderful happens, who's the first person you tell? Why, it's the person you love the most or your best friends. And I've always thought that the shepherds must have been God's close friends because He wanted them to know first of all. Let me ask you this question. If a Savior were born today, would God send an angel to tell you, to tell me? Are you a close friend of God's? I've often wondered, had I been there that night, would I have heard the angel sing? Another reason I suspect God chose the shepherds was because of the manger. I've only begun to realize that recently. Why didn't God choose farmers or night watchmen or someone else? Why shepherds? But after all, who would understand the meaning of a manger better? Wouldn't it be shepherds? What is a manger? Why, it's a feeding trough, a tool the shepherd uses to feed his sheep in the wintertime or when the grazing is poor. Jesus once spoke of Himself and He said, "I am the Good Shepherd." So our Good Shepherd came in a manger to feed us, to take care of us. And I think the shepherds understood that. Isn't that what God foretold in the Old Testament? Over in Ezekiel chapter 34, the Bible says, "Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, strengthen the sick, and then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them." The manger and the shepherds were no accident, were they? So God comes to meet all of your needs and mine as our shepherd. And we find him lying in a manger where sheep are fed. And the manger not only tells us where he is, but it also tells us who he is. Finally, when it was all over that night, the shepherds had to go back to their flock. The fear they had felt when the angel first appeared was gone. The decision they had made to go and see what had happened was behind them. The thrill of seeing the baby was now but a memory. Indeed, Christmas had come and gone. Was there anything left over? Was there any permanent impact, any permanent difference in their lives? Listen to what our text for today says. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen." Do you have that left over from Christmas in your life? You see, once they met the Savior, the shepherds were never the same again. There was a new quality about their lives, the quality of praise, the quality of glorifying and giving gratitude to God. And if our lives do not have those qualities, we are impoverished. And we have to ask, did we go to Bethlehem after all? Does that make sense to you? As it turns out, you see, our celebration of Christmas each year is very important. It lets us go to Bethlehem again to see once more the manger and what God has done for us. It gives us a chance to come away with renewed joy and gratitude and praise. And if we don't have those characteristics left over from Christmas, we have to ask ourselves if we went to Bethlehem at all. Let us pray. Let us pray.